I don't want you to wait in suspense any longer.
No, you wouldn't want to do that.
Caller number 15 right now, 312-981-7200, wins a family four-pack of tickets to an upcoming White Sox game. Keep listening all season long for your chance to win a family four-pack to the White Sox.
Nice.
They'll give you some dates. You choose what works for you and your family. Doesn't lock you in. It's kind of nice. All right. That's very, this is a very important thing. The Chief Medical Officer of the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. That's really not his best title, though.
No, he's got a more important title.
Yeah. He's the Chief Medical Officer and Senior Vice President of Northwestern Medicine. That's a better title.
It's a big deal.
Yeah. Because this is an unpaid position. I'm assuming they pay him for that other position. Mm-hmm. Dr. Jim Adams, who was here with us before, is joining us again. And now, Doctor, there's a story that is getting all kinds of national attention about this fungal infection that is that's affecting major cities right now. Chicago has a couple hundred cases, I think, of this that have been identified. And then other major cities, New York, I think, has had some as well. And the media, I hate to use the media in that big term sense because I don't believe in that sort of thing, but certainly there's a lot of media attention on this, and it seems to me to be a little bit misdirected. So can you explain what this is and how dangerous is this really?
Well, there's no cause for panic, but the fact is that a strain of fungus has been identified in typically nursing home patients, very sick nursing home patients, and I think in Illinois 154 cases. But it's difficult to treat. The typical antifungals don't seem to be working easily. Some of the patients are dying from this fungal infection, but we're not seeing it affect normal people. There's really no reason to panic. But we always, always are on guard about tough organisms, and this is a tough organism.
The New York Times article I read about the Mount Sinai case showed a man who had it and ultimately died of it after 90 days of trying to get him treated. But the other piece of it was that the fungus lived on beyond his death. It was not only in the mattress and in the curtains. They found it on virtually everything. The walls, they had to take out ceiling tiles. It doesn't seem to, not only it also has this drug resistant quality, but also hard to kind of get rid of it.
Right. The people who clean hospital rooms are specially trained people. And if you're in the hospital, value the nurses, but value the people who clean the rooms because it's a super important job. But there's also high intensity disinfecting mechanisms that are needed for organisms like this. And hospitals are well aware of it and take a lot of precautions around it.
And I think a lot of people don't fail to understand that germs, you know, they live on skin surfaces. You're around them a lot. And, you know, there's a difference, obviously, between fungal and bacterial and all that. But, you know, you can't see them. You just know that they're there. And proper sanitation really becomes your best defense, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And this is not something that we're seeing infect normal, healthy people. But it's something we don't want to have normal, healthy people in contact with anyway. And absolutely, the good hygiene, washing your hands, good disinfection practices, always important for all kind of protecting yourself.
But they say this is new. Now, is it new?
Well, there's always the evolution of resistant organisms. Resistant organisms are always evolving, and this is one that does have some new quality to it, but it's something that we have recognized and are getting on top of. So we're constantly on the search for evolving organisms.
So fungus or bacteria, things that like this, that we're constantly trying to fight, whether it's with drugs or even in the farming system with crop chemicals that you try to keep things from growing on that are going to destroy crops. These organisms mutate around the use of those, particularly whether it's antibiotics for medical treatment or antifungals that are used by crop dusters. Those kinds of things nature's going to win out, I suppose, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, so my friends and family are always unhappy with me because I never give them antibiotics, and they're going to get better. And what I don't want to do is give antibiotics, have all the the weaker bacteria are killed, and then the hardier ones, the more resistant ones, survive. So, you know, I don't use as much antibiotics as other people because I don't want to allow the stronger ones to be selected out. So that's true bacteria or fungus, and to the degree that antifungals or antibacterial treatments are given to in agriculture, that can select for more resistant organisms. So we do have to be careful whether it's in humans or animals.
I'm taking your number right out of my phone now because he just said that.
He won't give it to you. Yeah. You're going to ask for it, and he won't give it to you. Are doctors having some success in treating it in immunosuppressed people? And it seems like there are a lot of the people who are getting, people who already have other conditions are the ones who are getting this fungus in high numbers.
Yeah, so they are treated with antifungals, and then also just good overall medical treatment to strengthen the immune system so that can fight it. The immune system is an amazing thing. It's the best defense. So keeping yourself healthy, sleeping well, keeping your immune system strong is always the best way to be fighting the fungus or the bacteria. But yeah, there's some success with it, but it's something we don't want to take for granted. We don't want to have spread. We do want to keep monitored and on top of.
All right. And also, how's the flu season going? Are we almost done
now? Last we talked to you, not so well.
Well, yeah. So, you know, we're still seeing flu, but it's on a decline. We probably have a few more weeks, but it's definitely on the downward side. But it's a late season, but it's still not completely gone.
Wow. And it's also allergy season's kicking in now, too. And people starting to feel sick, but they're really, it's an allergic reaction as opposed to viral or bacterial.
Right, and that is something that there are good over-the-counter medicines for that do help the symptoms.
What do you like? What do you like best over-the-counter for that? You got anything that you do? You recommend one over another, or a type another?
Honestly, I think the people first, Benadryl is sedating, but it's fine for bedtime, so it helps people sleep too. But the ones that are not sedating over-the-counter, they're all very good. Some people find one personally better than another, and I would have the people just try what's best for them.
Okay, so you kind of shop it around until you find the one that really locks together. Because some of these don't work for me at all. I'll tell you what really, you know what works for me nicely? Flonase. That's
Flonase?
The one, yeah. That's, you know, it's just sort of as a you know, like you, if you get like hay fever kind of allergy symptoms.
I hate using that though.
Yeah. It's kinda, I know, because it goes up your nose.
Yeah,
but you know, once you get used to it, it's okay. It's not habit forming like some of the other ones are. Right?
People are also asking about symptoms, doctor, on the fungus. How do you know you have it?
Do not even worry. You will know if you have it. It is, nobody listening to this is really susceptible to this highly resistant fungus. It is not something for a normal person to worry about.
Okay, we'll take it off the panic list.
Right, exactly. And that is my mother texting in. And I have to constantly explain to my mother, if you think you're sick, you're not sick. You're sick when you know you're sick. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a pretty good rule of thumb.
So I think that's absolutely. And when the doctors and nurses go home, what we do is tend to wash our clothes in hot water, normal laundry, and then we take showers and just soap and water. We don't do anything fancy. Soap and water, hot laundry, it's great. It'll keep you healthy.
So every night do you go and wash everything in hot water?
I put it in the laundry, but I do laundry pretty frequently, especially if I'm in the emergency department around a lot of these very sick patients.
Oh,
yeah,
so
I don't want to track anything home.
Right, so you're not going to wear a shirt twice.
No, and what happens is a lot of our doctors will wear scrubs and they'll be laundered, but I really do think that frequent clothing changes, because we don't want to transmit it to family, ourselves, or coworkers, but for the general population, they're even much lower risk.
Your tie is a hot zone, though, isn't it? I mean, they always say, like, the doctor's tie is the scariest part if you don't, because you got to, do you wear a tie? Do you have to clean your tie?
But my tie does not, I'm telling you, my tie does not get close to anything funky, but I am surprised that there's physicians who accumulate stuff on ties. But I'm a fan, frankly, while I wear a tie, I'm a fan of doctors who are with their hands in things that don't wear ties, I think scrubs are the way to go and have them laundered.
Yeah, and I'm going to just tell you this right now. I'm sending you saran wrap for your tie. All right, doctor, thank you very much. Dr. Jim Adams, Chief Medical Officer and Senior Vice President of Northwestern Medicine, and also Chief Medical Officer of the Roe Contra with Anna DeVantis, yes. Unpaid position. Thank you, doctor.
Thanks, Dr. Jim.
Bye-bye.
There he goes. That's, if I were a doctor, I'd wrap everything, that whole thing in saran wrap.
Do you go to your doctor's appointments with saran wrap?
Yeah.
You sort of wrap the doctor?
I wrap myself in saran wrap.
Oh.
Then that's, and it's a weird deal. I mean, because it's, I triple wrap down there, if you know what I mean, too.
Right.
You know, so it's just not going to be the same thing. You gotta, I don't need that. I don't need it. I don't want to get sick from this. It's really funny because I have already, of course, my mother has already called me about this, about the Candida aureus, which is a fungus, which Candida aureus was the name of the Police's third album, right? So it's like everybody knows it. I do not understand when people get all freaked out, and we're doing it. I mean, the thing is that, especially on the click-through media,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, you go on your phone, you're reading, you know, the news.
Oh, it was everywhere. The story just popped.
Because they want you to click. Well, this mm-hmm. will kill you immediately. Yes, it will kill you if you're 110. And you're already dying in a nursing home and you're not conscious. These are the kinds of really terminally ill patients, an end of life kind
Very
of a
sad.
Thing with this, where it's happening.
Yeah.
But if it were not this, it might be something else. It's you know, is similarly benign with people who are healthy.
Yeah.
Still something to think about.
I think there was when we had such a concentration of cases here in Illinois, then that's when it just started to really pop all the stories. There are cases in New York, as you pointed out. There's 154 confirmed cases here,
right,
in Illinois.
Right.
So they are on the lookout for it.
Stop freaking out, people.
Stop.
And I'm saying that specifically to my mother. All right, let's check in now. Kim, what's happening at the bottom of the hour?
Roe Hospital in the western suburbs will stay open for now.